Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again, another episode of Sports Card Live. We take a magnifying glass to the sports card industry. News, reviews, thoughts, the occasional tangents, and free stuff. Hosted by Dan Rage, Ryan, and Doug Fresh. Boom!
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. It has been a while. Had a baby, so life happens, and just trying to balance the show. But we are here, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. There's just this buildup of stuff to talk about, and we also got an exciting announcement from Sergio at Sports Card Album. He's going to debut something new, and we're going to have some sweet giveaways, so listen to that. He's going to be on at about 4:30 Pacific, so in about a half an hour, with some great news regarding the Sports Card Album app. We got tons of products that came out to talk about. Immaculate came out, NT Basketball, NT Hockey Certified. So all kinds of things going down. So we're going to touch on all those subjects, everything hobby, get you all caught up in this next 2 hours. So we got Dan and Ryan. What's going on, Ryan? What's going on, Dan?
Chilling. Yeah, it's been a lot of stuff that's come out, it seems like. I mean, you missed out on Triple Threads, too. When you were naming off everything, you didn't name off Triple Threads.
Triple Threads is going down
that
as well.
That also came out. I want to say there was another one, too.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff going on. The sports card hobby is thriving. A lot of new products coming out, so we'll kind of give you our take on all of those and some new ones to come. And it's going to be a pretty exciting show. Ryan, what's going on?
What's up, dude? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Go.
Oh, okay. I got cut off there. Everything's good, man. Everything's really good. So excited to be back talking about sports cards.
Sweet, man. Well, it was an interesting couple weeks in the NFL. I mean, I think I can hear Roger Goodell's head exploding right now with all the stuff that is on his docket. That's one guy I don't want to be right now. Maybe I want his salary, but I don't want to deal with the problems that guy has to deal with at this point. I mean, you know, now he's dealing with Adrian Peterson, I mean, which is just crazy. Now there's another report that came out, and I know this isn't new news. We're going over some old stuff here, but yesterday it came out that he beat another kid. So, and then you got the Ray Rice thing, you got the Ray McDonald thing, you got the guy in Carolina, I guess, who threatened his wife. I mean, what's going on with football players these days?
I think Adele is like the highest-priced babysitter of all time.
Yes.
Like...
I'm a man.
I mean,
I'm 40.
These guys, man, I don't know. I mean, you don't see any other sports. I mean, baseball, you got guys getting busted for, I think it was like Chris Davis got busted for amphetamines, right?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. I think that happened in like a week ago. But yeah, man, the football, what is going on? What's going on with these kids?
I don't know, and there seems like, I don't know, maybe I'm just, you know, not remembering years past, but there seems like a lot more early injuries of, you know, big players, like, you know, A.J. Green going out, RG3's out for at least 4 weeks. I mean, there's just been, a lot of injuries, especially this last week, tons of injuries, and I know you guys, in your fantasy leagues, probably had some of the lowest scoring weeks ever, because most of these lineups had at least one injured guy, if not two, and then if you drafted Adrian Peterson, you had to scramble to throw somebody in there as well, so it's been just some craziness. As it relates to the card market, do you guys, let's start with Adrian Peterson, do you think his values will be affected?
Yes.
Do you think
Absolutely.
It's a good? Do you think it's a good time to pick up Adrian Peterson's? I mean, not that they were extremely high, but you know, you could make some money on some contenders cards or maybe some triple threads. What do you think? Is it a good time to buy because people are trying to unload, or is it a stay away moment for Adrian Peterson's?
You know, maybe if you like him for some reason, you're a Vikings fan or a fan of him or Oklahoma or whatever, then maybe buy him. But I would, you know what? And it's almost like a sell on all running backs.
Yeah.
Eddie Lacy, you know, all every single running back you could basically think of. Look at what just happened to Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson. Probably two of the higher-priced running backs when you really think about it in terms of cards and stuff, non-rookies. you really have to look at if you're interested in your cards appreciating in value or selling them later on, you really should only be messing with quarterbacks at this point, to be perfectly honest, unless you can get a really, really good deal. Even somebody like Giovanni Bernard, who's a very good player, who had a really good weekend, had a couple touchdowns, I bet his cards didn't move an inch. And compared to, some of the quarterbacks out there right now, Manziel, Bridgewater, even the ones from last year, Geno Smith probably selling for more or the same as Giovanni Bernard. So you really almost want to be selling all running backs. And then when they start beating kids and beating wives and it's on TMZ, it's time to sell and it's time to actually change your thought process, if you're really trying to make money. And it's really different. I've been prospecting a lot of baseball cards. It's pretty simple. You buy the top prospects on the Baseball America Top 100 list, the best guys, a lot of the guys I've seen before. I buy their cards for 15 cents. I just did it with Jorge Soler, who just got called up or whatever. I made a ton of money on that soul, made a ton of money on some of these other guys who just got September called. You can't do that with football. It's very difficult to do that with football. All these guys are good in college. They come up. Even somebody like Adrian Peterson, his prices have been sky high since 2007, I believe, was his rookie year. That stuff was super expensive, 07 stuff. So and I think Matthew Stafford's in that year too, maybe. It's tough. It's tough with football, and I would stay away from running backs right now. If you're trying to prospect football, I'd literally only do it with quarterbacks. Because those are the ones, if Andrew Luck wins the Super Bowl, boom, I guarantee you his cards will go up in value. Robert Griffin, same idea. Look at what happened to Russell Wilson cards. I guarantee you those shot up when he won that Super Bowl last year. So, but with the running backs, not so much. Marshawn Lynch cards, maybe they went up a little bit, but not that much. Robert Turbin cards are in the dollar bin. Christine Michael cards are in the dollar bin. So you really need to be looking at those quarterbacks. And quarterbacks really only if you're looking to mess with football cards.
And that's a good comparison. I'm glad you brought that up because that's what I've been thinking. It almost is comparative to the sports when it comes to making money on these cards that, the attention span, and I'll be the first one to say I love football. Football is probably the most exciting sport for me. I love baseball. I'm a big Giants fan too. But it seems like the attention span for the average football collector is a week-to-week basis, where the average attention span for baseball, you can wait years on these guys. So it almost goes along with the sport, because football is such a fast-paced sport, only 16 games, that the guy breaks out for one game, you need to sell then, because the next game it could go down 50%. But baseball, you can buy Soler, like you said, 2 years ago, and sit there and wait. And he could have some bad games. He could get hurt, but he could come back, and then his value retains. So it's interesting.
Oh, for sure.
It's an interesting concept comparing both sports. It definitely translates into the card market as well.
Soler was hurt all the beginning of the year. I was buying him literally 2 months ago, stuff for 15 cents, serial numbered cards for 30 cents, 40 cents. Boom, they're $2, $3 cards right now. And Lord knows I wish I would have had 300-400 cards of his, because they literally all shut up. Even his boo-boo little Bowman Platinum base cards, those are 50 cents a pop, and if you can buy them for 10 to 15 cents and get a whole bunch of them, I'll do that all day long. And you can really do that with baseball, whereas football, it's a lot tougher. I'm just thinking of Giovanni Bernard right now. I have some of his cards, and it's like, I could sell them and make money right now, but it's not going to be very much, and he's a good player, and the Bengals are 2-0. So, and look at Eddie Lacy. I don't know. I mean, he struggled. He got hurt week one. What are his cards doing? Even Terrence West. I bet his autographs aren't worth very much. He had a good game for the Browns. So it's very difficult unless you're the star, superstar quarterback. And usually those cards come out hot anyways. It's not like Teddy Bridgewater cards are a dollar. I guarantee that.
No.
His cards, there's already money baked in. I know that Johnny football cards are selling for a lot, and he hasn't even hit the field. Blake Bortles, same thing. Who knows when we're going to see those guys? Chad Henne got sacked 10 times, by the Redskins this weekend. They better not throw out Bortles, because he'll turn into Blaine Gafford. How much money is on Blaine Gafford's autograph years ago?
And the fans are already shouting out Bortles. But that also brings up another interesting fact, and I'll go to Dan on this one. At what point how many years does Manziel have to sit before his cards go down in value? Because you come, I mean, obviously he's not Aaron Rodgers, but you look at Aaron Rodgers in 05, who never really got a start until 09, his cards skyrocketed. So how long does the guy have to sit? Because at that point, he is known as a mystery guy. What can he do? We don't know what he can do. So his card values are up there from prospectors and obviously Cleveland fans, if there is any of them out there. I mean, there's a few. But what do you think, Dan, to make a long-winded question?
I think the value would stay with Manziel, and this is specifically to Manziel because of his college career and, you know, I mean, the marketability, like, for him. I mean, he basically – I mean, he was called Johnny Football. I mean, he had fans out of Texas A&M. I mean, people are always going to collect Johnny Manziel. I mean, even if he turns out to be a bust, it's like Tim Tebow. People are still going to collect him. They're still gonna spend money for him. But I think he can basically sit for 3 years, and he does. He will have that mystery factor of what's he gonna be. But I think 3 years, and there still will be value there. Do I think he's gonna sit for 3 years? No, I think he's gonna play some point this year. I think they already put him out there this week. I think they have like 10 to 15 plays drawn up for him. And he was out
right there.
I think he completed a pass or ran or something. I don't know. But whatever they have in their system, I know they have like 10 to 15 plays for him. But I think he'll be the starter by week 10. I mean, Hoyer is not the future. They're going to have to put in Manziel at some point. But getting back to the value on quarterbacks, I think what I would do right now is I would look at certain backup quarterbacks, because that's where you can actually get in really low, like a Matt Barkley. Say Nick Foles goes out, they throw Matt Barkley in there. I mean, you can get Matt Barkley stuff super cheap.
But see, we're not basing it on hotness of girlfriends. I think that's where you're going with this.
Dude, but I'm telling you, I mean, you can get Matt Barkley autos and low-numbered parallels and stuff like that on the cheap. I mean, that guy was in everything last year. You also look at like Tom Savage. Is he the backup for Fitzpatrick?
Yep.
You could maybe invest in that guy a little bit, because it only takes those guys coming out, and you're going to have to flip it quick. But they come out. Let's say they throw for, say, 250 yards, 3 touchdowns. They win a game. That card right there, that initial investment of like $5, you may be able to flip it for $25.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
I mean, even
Bortles, I think Bortles is going to be the guy that comes out. I mean, he's not on a great team. Well, I mean, neither is Manziel for that point, but I think Bortles has just seeing him in a couple preseason games, seeing him in college, he's that mold of a quarterback like an Andrew Luck, like a, you know, just a good pocket presence that could have a good career. Yes, he's not cheap right now, but look at Andrew Luck's cards. I mean, look how much they went up. Look how much a contender is Andrew Luck. You can't get one for $800 now. So, you know, you could probably get, when Contenders comes out, if Bortles is still a backup, you could probably get a Contenders card for like $150, $200 for a base Contenders auto. And then something that you could sit on.
How about a Kirk Cousins?
That too. Yeah, there you go.
Starting for the next 4 weeks. I mean, you could probably get his stuff. I know it had a little bit of a peak, like last year when he was playing, but you may be able to still get some stuff relatively on the cheap and be able to flip it like in a week.
No, it's his market's got. Now's the time to sell. His market is very high. I was just gonna say, if you're holding on to any Kirk Cousins, get those things up on eBay right now. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a game you play. You're definitely gonna make some money on it now. Now, if you wait, like Dan's saying, you know, he could become an Andrew Luck, but. You know, he's a good quarterback, too. I've always liked him better than RG3. I think he's going to fit into that scheme a lot better than Andrew Luck did. And especially with Gruden, Gruden's offense is not the way Shanahan ran his offense. So I think it's just a better fit. And he's got DeSean Jackson. He's got Pierre Garçon. I know DeSean Jackson went out. I don't know how long he's hurt for. He's got, you know, Alfred Morris, kind of your old school, you know, bastion running back. So he's got all the tools on the offense to have a good season. So it might be a guy, like you said, to just pick up and see what happens and flip towards the end of the season, maybe when they slide into the wild card or they win that division, which is very winnable. That division is very winnable.
Yeah.
Don't forget Austin Davis, dude, fighting St. Louis Rams.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Never heard of him.
Garrett Gilbert? Did he make it? Garrett Gilbert?
No, he's on the practice squad. They may have re-signed him after Hill went down.
Okay. Not to change subject, but I want to get you guys prepared because I have a new segment that I don't know if it's going to be recurring. We're going to try it out. It seems like it's going to be funny in my head, but I want to play a little game, and Sergio is going to take part of this when we bring him on. We are going to have a conversation, and we're going to basically take turns. And in your sentence, you have to include the name of a product. So if you can't figure out a name of a product in your sentence, then you're out. So you could be like, wow, that steak was immaculate, or you know, or something, whatever topic we decide to do. And we're going to go around like, you know, puff, puff, pass in a sense, and then you're going to speak your piece, and then it's going to be on to the next guy until we run out of product names. So start getting the memory bank going. I'm kind of fortunate that I have a computer in front of me, so I'm going to have a little upper hand on this. But the more creative, the better, and see if we can make this a funny little segment. That's going to come up later in the show. So, I mean, because I was just thinking about all the product names. They're all verbs. They're all words that you can use in a sentence, and there's millions of them. So this should be something funny. So we'll try that later on in the show. We'll try that on later on in the show. I wanted to kind of briefly touch on something that I saw on Blowout. I talked to Dan the other day. I saw it on Blowout forums about some theft from DA Card World employees. Did you catch wind of this, Ryan?
I briefly saw somebody mention something about that, and that it even made like a news story that they, I don't know what they stole, but it was like $1 million worth of stuff. So sounds like some sticky fingers at DA.
Yeah. It's, and as a business owner myself, obviously we don't have not even a tenth of the amount of employees that they have. We have like three. But, you know, that's just one of your worst possible scenarios. So I hope they can bounce back from that. Sounds like they can. So apparently some employees basically for the course of 2 years stole $1.2 million in product by basically, instead of like they would get a shipment in from Topps of like, let's just say 20 cases of Topps Chrome, they would take two and not check them in. So nobody would know that they were missing two cases. And then those employees would take it and then sell it on eBay for obviously 100% profit. So they did it for like 1 or 2 years. There's like three guys involved. So it made national news in Buffalo. So then somebody posted on Blowout. I was like, wow. So hopefully those guys get some time in jail or something for that, because that just sucks.
Mm.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, I don't know how at the end of the year you do books and you like look at it and you're like, oh, well, we're short about $1.3 million. Damn, you'd hope you'd catch that beforehand. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Shoot,
tame up. Well, that's what the guys who are jacking this stuff are saying.
For a little while. Yeah, I mean they're gonna have some bad karma. Yeah, I just hopefully that makes those guys realize. Maybe you need to check the books. I mean that's tough. I know how much product. I mean there's a product that comes out every week, so it's probably easy to have an oversight like that, but that's some crazy news. I thought I would, you know, some of you guys out there may have already heard about it, but I thought I'd share it on the show because it's news regarding the hobby. So $1.2 million. Wow. I will never.
I mean, there's a lot of businesses that would not recover from that. That's not just a small little loss prevention's write off. That's a big chunk of money. That's some serious cash.
That's some Skrilla.
That's some Skrill, y'all.
So, I wanted to move on to, you know, Panini's been doing some great things, and I want to give them props on Immaculate. It was a great product. We'll actually talk a little bit more in depth later on in the show about Immaculate and some of their other offerings like Certified and NT Hockey. We'll kind of give our take on that, but I wanted to kind of go over, now that we've seen a couple products with the reward points, I just wanted to kind of have a discussion on the Panini reward points so far. My feeling is obviously it's not good. I think what needs to happen, and I don't know if it will, is they need to offer the points and then also put a player's name on it. So if it's Derek Carr, it needs to say Derek Carr autographed to 250 or 300 points. The secondary market at first on these cards was great. They were the 250 points were selling for $15 and stuff like that. But now you've gotten to a point where those 250 points are selling for $5. So when that's one of your major hits in a box, that it just brings down the value of your box. Now, I'm not saying that every box should be a winner, but I think that there needs to be some kind of thing to make the value there for these reward points. Or just do away with them, I think. I think we've done a trial run, and I think they need to do away with them at this point. What are your thoughts? We'll start with Dan on this one.
Well, I think they definitely need to tweak the system, and I do like the idea of putting a player's name on the card. I mean, at least for what we do, it'd make our lives a lot easier. But, like, for instance, or they can put out a list, like, before a product comes out saying, look, the rewards points are going to be, these players are not going to be in there. It's going to be Khalil Mack, Devontae Freeman, Terrence West. Like, these are the guys who we did not get stickers or did not get car, like, autos in this set. So then you have an idea. But to just put, like, I mean, like you said, they were going for a decent amount on the secondary market. I think now, I think at 250 points, you can get just like a single color relic of somebody, maybe like a Terrence Williams or somebody like that. So the value really isn't there unless you save a bunch up. I think they're going to have to tweak it. I think we're going to see it through the whole calendar year of releases, though. I believe we have such a small sample size that I don't think they're going to axe it all the way and just be done with it. I think we're going to see it. They're going to go the whole year. And we're going to see what happens. I mean, the only thing that sucks is when we get into higher-end products, your main hit can be 1,000 rewards points, which that's a tough pill to swallow. So
yeah,
that's my whole idea on it. I like your idea of putting the names on there, like, you know, rewards points or this player or redemption for this player. You're just going to have to wait for it. So the people who are like, I don't want to wait for a redemption, I'll just take the points. You have an option. I think that's a good way of going about it. But since they didn't start the system that way, they're not going to revamp it halfway in the middle of releases and change it up at this point.
Right.
That would just be too much of a pain in the ass to go through and try to figure that out.
Yeah. I mean, I think that also the thing that sucks for the collectors is the fact that the Panini is making them pay shipping. So if you do redeem a card, you still have to pay shipping, whether it's their old redemption program, you didn't have to pay shipping. So, I mean, I don't know why they decided to do that. Maybe costs were a factor in this. But, I mean, I don't know. I think if you're due a card that's missing from the box, I think the company should cover that for you. That's my opinion. I don't know.
How much? Yeah, the shipping is ridiculous. Why are they charging shipping?
I don't know.
How much is shipping? Is it like what, $3?
I think it depends on the card. I'm hearing this third hand, so maybe that's not 100% true. But I've heard multiple people tell me that they were charged for shipping. So I'm you know, if it was one person, I would, you know, not believe them. But, you know, a lot of people are saying they're charging for shipping. So I'm thinking that they are. So
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think it's okay with the products. I mean, it's not okay, but it's if they start putting it in immaculate, flawless stuff like that, then we're gonna get a serious outrage from collectors. Ryan, do you think they're gonna put it in high-end products?
I believe that was the intention. And have you guys seen regular redemptions for because they said they weren't going to do away with, like, Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant wasn't live, they weren't going to give you 1,000 points. They were still going to give you a Kevin Durant redemption. Have you seen those in the new products?
No, they still have the regular redemptions. They still have the regular ones.
Okay.
In basketball products. Basketball products still have the regular redemptions. But maybe in 14, 15, they may be switching it over. I expect them to switch
right.
over. Yeah, I just think that we're still in F. I think we have one more left. But I think going forward, they're going to do the same thing we're doing with football, 14-15 basketball.
Right.
But I do remember hearing something like that where Kobe and Durant and
right.
a lot of the Panini exclusives, you were still going to get a redemption card for that player.
Which is smart, because I think the problem with redemptions, it's not that there are redemptions, it's the fact that they can't seem to get them done in a timely period. I say them as in Topps and Panini and whomever. It just seems like if they could fulfill them within 6 weeks or whatever, or even 2 months, I think people are fine. And a big player, I'd wait 6 months, a year for Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, one of those players. So I wouldn't mind the wait. It's just that sometimes you're waiting on scrubs, and then what do you do? You know, it's one thing I got to go to the Nashville and do a little trade-out program. I had a year-old redemption of some guy who's not even in the NBA anymore, and I got a Giannis Antetokounmpo, or whatever his name is, autographed rookie as a trade for some guy who's not even in the league. So that's great that I got to go, but most collectors can't do that. So, you know, this whole thing got framed as, you know, oh, my God, Panini's going to eliminate redemption. It's a game changer, quote, unquote, unquote. In reality, it's just a marketing move, and it's a cost saver for them. And if they are charging for shipping, they're charging you for shipping. So this whole thing was a little cost-saving move that got framed as a marketing promotional great for the hobby thing. No, this is just to save Panini some money.
Right.
Doesn't mean the products are going to stink or anything like that, or they're not trying hard on the products, and some of their stuff that they've come out with lately has been looking decent. So, but this whole thing is literally just a cost-saving move for them, because redemptions are very expensive for them in general, because it's time, it's money, it's employees. They had to go fly to Seattle to get Russell Wilson to sign all these things last year. That cost a fortune. They flew two employees to Seattle and got them to sign all that cards. And we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars, where if they could have got Russell Wilson to sign them earlier at a different time, or if they played Dallas or something, it would have been easier. So this is all just the cost-saving moves at the end of the day. I wouldn't, you know, and I'm surprised more people didn't, when they announced this, that's the first thing I thought of. Oh, my God, they're just trying to cut costs. They're not going to do anything great. They're just trying to save some money. And I think,
right.
you know, we're starting to see that play out a little bit. But hopefully they still do the redemptions for Kobe's and Durant and get them done in a timely manner. I think they usually do with those players. And these points, I would love to see the points as just a bonus hit. You guys are saying that it's not a bonus hit, that it's counted as a hit, I guess?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How
yeah.
do you guys it,
it's
do
counting
that?
As a,
we,
it's,
yeah.
it's, well, we've been randoming it through everybody, all teams involved. The sticky situation that came up with Certified was that the product had been out a week, and they released – they actually had a box topper that said that the reward points are replacing freshman fabric autographs. So it means it's replacing the rookie autographs in there. It didn't say who. So then a week later, it came out, you know, after we had done, you know, 4 or 5 cases already, or maybe not that much, 3 or 4 cases, they came out with a list of who was missing. So I was like, well, it would have been nice to know, you know, ahead of time, because then maybe we could have random it through those players. Now, I don't think there was any players that were completely absent. I think it was different numbered versions of their cards were absent. Like, some of them didn't have the base, but they had. I think there was, like, one guy, and I don't think it wasn't a big name. I think it was Devontae Adams from Green Bay.
For Green Bay.
So who wasn't in there at all.
Okay. And you get points. And how much are the points? Do they depend on the guy, or is it all just a blanket – point number?
You never know. We pulled the highest point card we pulled was 400. Now I see some on eBay that are 1500 points. So I don't
right,
know.
I
mean,
those. Yeah.
I don't
think
know
they
if that, maybe that's
5.
A 101 or something like that. So I don't know.
Okay. Damn.
And I'm going to go on a tangent because I wanted to play this for Tom, who's in the room. He was asking about the Gary Payton drop. We actually had Gary record this for us at the summit. It's different than the shoot came up, but this is him doing it for us.
Hey, y'all, this is Gary Payton. Hey, MojoBreak.com, they just came up.
Well, he didn't say shoot in that one, but because he was thinking, he said sure came up, and I said, no, it's shoot came up. So, but we actually ran into him, and we said, we love that video, and I think Dan, he asked Dan for a cranberry vodka at the summit, and I think it was 2012, right before the 2012 products came out with Luck, and he was doing a signing there, and Dan had a vodka cranberry, and Gary Payton was like, dude, give me one, and then we're like, hey, well, if we get you one, can you record this little thing for us? So that's kind of backlogs the shoot came up a little bit. So we're not BFFs now. I wish we were. I wish Gary Payton could come in and actually break some cards for us. But we're – no, he's too busy for us. He's too cool. Absolutely too cool. And the dude is a super real dude, not just humble dude, just a regular dude anyways. But so I wanted to play that on the show, but just to kind of clarify. So we talked about the reward points. I think hopefully – they're looking at it. They're seeing all the backlash on the forums about it, and maybe they'll make some tweaks for it for the better. Maybe not, but we could hope, because I don't think any collector is stoked about the points. I don't see anybody out there saying, I love the points. Maybe some people on eBay love the points because they're able to buy them up for cheap and redeem them for really good cards. That's the only person I can see that really loves the points. But I don't know.
I wonder how much attention Panini gives to certain forums in the hobby. Because if they did, I mean, no matter what they do, Panini in general, it just seems like they cannot do anything right. And I'll admit, I mean, sometimes they do stuff that just doesn't make a lot of sense. But if you go by these forums, and if they take a lot of that stuff to heart, I mean, surprised they don't just go, just going to fold up shop and just call it a day. Because, I mean, no matter... They could come out with, like, just an amazing product, and people are still bashing them. So,
yep.
I wonder how much they actually – they probably don't even pay attention to them. They probably never even go on, like, specific hobby forums.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, people bash on Topps as well, but nothing like Panini, man. It's like
– right.
People are rough.
So, but Sergio's actually waiting on the line, so we're going to bring him on here shortly. But let me just ask you guys this. Why do you think – I mean, is it long-term brand recognition? Why do people, collectors, hate on Panini so much? I mean, there's a lot of hatred towards Topps, but it seems like there's a lot more hatred towards Panini. Why do you think that is? And anybody can take this conversation.
I think it's just because they're kind of the new kid on the block. I think that's the main thing. It's easy to hate the new brand. The old brand, I mean, Topps is kind of the flagship when it comes to baseball. I mean, they are the end-all, be-all. And a lot of people who've been collecting for 30 years, I mean, they've been collecting Topps. I just think Panini's like kind of the new kid on the block, and maybe viewed as maybe close to a bully. They kind of you know, buy out, do exclusives, buy out smaller card companies and that kind of thing. So maybe that has to do with it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. And Ryan, what do you think? Is it all about the brand recognition? Is why? I mean, they could put gold. It seems like they could put a $100 bill in a card that's $40, and people would still find a way to complain about it. Like, literally, you buy a card for $40 and it has a $100 bill that you could go take and buy, like, a new iPhone with. Obviously, an iPhone costs more than that. But I'm just saying, it just seems like that they do that and people will still find a way to complain about it.
I can see if somebody did that, they'd be like, dude, that's an old $100 bill, dude. I want a brand new one.
Yeah, right.
Like, how is Panini just going off just giving us these old hundreds? What's wrong with these people?
I'm not saying all people hate Panini, but if you troll some of the forums, and I use troll because there's a lot of trolls on there, but if you troll the forums, you'll see anytime Blowout or I go on Blowout. Maybe there's other forums out there that are better, but it just seems like there's a lot more action on Blowout. So anytime they put like a preview of like a new product, it's always like, ugh, barf, sucks, wow, terrible. There's like for every 12 comments that are bad, there's maybe one comment that's good, but then has a negative in it too. So I mean,
right.
I don't know. What do you think, Ryan? What do you think it is?
I
I think some of their first products, when they first kind of hit the scene in 2009 there, 2010, like some of their first basketball products were atrocious. I bought some of them after the fact because they got so cheap. And, I mean, lots of sticker autographs, weird kind of designs and stuff. And I think they've slowly improved, but I think the sets that have improved are the ones that are very, very expensive, the ones that, like, Carbon would work on, the ones that some of these, you know, guys who have been around Upper Deck worked on. And, yeah, they're nice cards, they're nice sets, but they're very hard to obtain. And also, they're brands from Donruss, Contenders, National Treasures. People already were familiar with those. It's hard to kind of mess those up in some respects. And honestly, I feel like they use a lot more stickers than what Topps does. Maybe I'm just thinking about baseball. Maybe football, Topps does a lot of stickers. But just in baseball, I think Topps, for all their faults, they do have some sets where you can get quite a few on-card autographs. Most of the time it's Will and Rosario and Zach Cosart. But, you know, you can get a nice, pretty nice on-card autograph of a baseball player. Whereas, like, even in basketball, very difficult when I'm trying to find rookie cards of somebody like Tony Roten, Dennis Schroeder, some of these younger guys that I'm kind of prospecting, you know, Solomon Hill, who's going to play a lot because Paul George is not playing. I'm trying to buy his rookie cards, and it's like, I'm buying some of the prisms, some of the parallels. But, God, he's got a lot of sticker autographs, and even the National Treasures, you're kind of priced out. I don't want to spend that much on a guy that I'm not really that sure on. So I think they have a long way, and because they're not in baseball, they are going to be kind of second tier, especially on the forums. And I believe full-heartedly that the people at Panini, they're very well in tune to the forums. They're extremely well in tune to Twitter and all this stuff. Topps even tell you that the people from Topps, the one guy, I mean, shocked me. He was like, yeah, I'm on there 5 times a day. When I go home, I check the forums, I check Twitter, I check the blogs and all this stuff. I'm like, dang, dude, it shouldn't take you 5 times a day. You should be able to glance at it one time and be good. But I think they're very, you know, they're very in tune because there are quite a few people talking about it and discussing it and have opinions and have views about it. So, It's tough. And like Dan said, they're kind of the new kid on the block. They're going to have to really prove themselves, and not just prove themselves with a set like Flawless or Immaculate that's $500-$600 a box, $1,000 a box. No. You got to do that with your cheaper products, your Donruss baseballs, your Pinnacles, your Prisms, your Timeless Treasures, your stuff that's a little less expensive, to kind of bring those guys in. You know, you got to wow them with that stuff because they see the Flawless, and it's too much. It's too much for a lot of people to spend on that kind of stuff and get those cards.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, without further ado, we got some exciting news. We're honored and excited to have Sports Card Out, Sergio from SportsCardAlbum.com. I know a lot of you guys probably use the app. It's an amazing app. We upload all of our hits to it. All of our big pulls for Mojo Break go on our Sports Card and Sports Card Album app, and it goes directly on our website, so you can see some of the big pulls in real time. And I've actually used it just personal. It made it super easy to use it on forums when, you know, you're either trying to sell or trade. They give you an image code, so you don't have to worry about, you know, trying to upload things. You can just paste that image code, and it displays the card super easy. You can do it right from your phone. I actually did a trade while I was driving. I mean, I don't recommend it, obviously. You can get a ticket. But I did it while I was driving. I put a little thing on the way home from a break. I had a card that I was trying to move for a while, and there was a post on one of the forums of some guy was looking for this guy. I think it was like Keenan Allen. I had a Keenan Allen card. I uploaded it, and we made a trade, and it was cool. So it's a super easy app to use, and he's got a big announcement that he wants to share with us. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Sergio on right now. Sergio, what is going on?
Hey, good evening, guys. Thank you so much for having us on board, and thank you for such a complimentary introduction. We're honored.
Oh, it was easy to do because it's an amazing product that you have, and just an amazing app. So I want you to let's get straight into the news of what you got. Everybody's waiting in the chat. They're like, what is Sergio going to say? So go ahead and tell us about the great news that we got.
Before I jump into that, can I offer one other point of view on the Panini hate?
Sure, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think one thing is just human nature. If we go to restaurants and somebody gives you great service, it's not really customary. Most people don't go out of their way to tell the manager this person did an amazing job. But you complain when you dislike something. And so, you know, I think somebody said that Panini is very active on the forums, lurking. I can vouch for that. I know firsthand that they do go in and pay attention. All the product managers do. But I think you've got to, at some point, learn to filter out some and recognize the fact that the majority of the people that are going to post, if they're going to post an opinion, the majority of the opinions are going to be bad. And people typically only post if they're on one of the polar sides of the spectrum. If they absolutely hate something, they will post without a doubt. And if they absolutely love something, maybe. But I think there's a huge percentage of people that are like, yeah, I like this, you know, or this or that, you know, and that those are the people that don't actually post. They just read the stuff and don't have a strong enough opinion to offer it one way or the other. And so I think in anything, whether it's Topps or Upper Deck or Panini or anything, you're going to see the hate, but still plenty of people are buying the product, still plenty of people are passionate about them. There are a couple products out there that I've said, I'm the kind of optimist, you know, fanboy of the hobby that I find something I like in every product, basically.
Yeah.
But
yep.
There have been a couple of products that I just absolutely hated, and I posted something on, like, the Facebook, and I have somebody respond that that's their favorite product. And, you know, and they're like, that product was just, I loved it, and I bought all the singles, and I put together these sets. And I was like, my gosh, like, that was the worst product I've ever seen. And they're like, no, I like that product. And they came up with 6 points. And I said, well, you know, it wasn't for me, but evidently somebody liked it. So I think one big thing is just, yeah, there's a lot of people that hate it. It's popular to hate them, so people are going to jump on the bandwagon. But at the same time, we're only going to see the worst of people on the forums, typically, the trolls and the people that just want to hate on things. So, you know, whether they're doing things right or wrong or whatnot, it's, you know, we're always going to see the bad reviews for restaurants more than the good ones. It's just human nature.
Right, and you can't please everybody. I'm sure there's some people after the I'm going current news on you guys here, but the Miss America contest that just happened, I didn't watch the contest, but I seen the girl that won, and I thought she was absolutely gorgeous. But I'm sure there's some people out there that thought she was ugly. So, you know, I'm
absolutely.
Just saying.
And then you've got things where they take big risks and, you know, do the, like, the rewards points, which I was a huge, huge fanboy when they announced that. I thought this could be extraordinary for the hobby, and, you know, hopefully they work out some kinks and take note of the reaction of collectors, because as you guys have, you know, talked about in depth, it's definitely not gone the way it needed to go. And, you know, you don't know until you try it. So, I mean, I imagine a lot of those things they couldn't have predicted until the thing kind of just crashes and burns. But it'll be interesting to see how they react to the pressure from the collectors and stuff like
you
that.
You can't do like a test market on something like that. There's just really
exactly.
No way to get feedback on that.
Yeah. So, regarding the big news.
Yes, let's do it. Let's roll out the red carpet.
I know you're an iPhone guy. I'm an iPhone guy, not necessarily by choice, but because that's what my company gives me. But we've had every single day, every single week, every single month since the iPhone app has come out, we have had people tweeting, messaging, sending us messages on the forums, emailing us, every which way communicating, when is the Android app coming out? When is the Android app coming out? And obviously, you know, it's expensive, very expensive to develop apps, but the Android apps, we had no idea going into it that the Android app is not the same as an iPhone app. And there's people that will say you can just port it. You just make the iPhone app, and then you can just copy and paste it, and you've got an Android app. It doesn't really work that way, especially if you want a functional Android app. They are very different. And the thing is, with an iPhone, you've got like three models. And so it's easy to prepare for all of them. If you've got an Android app, you've got 100 models. You've got every single company manufactures an Android phone, and they've got 6 different versions and different screen sizes and all of that. So it's a lot more complicated to develop and to test. So what we wanted to announce today was, well, first of all, good news. The Android app, my developer wanted to make sure I mentioned that it's not a copy and paste of the iPhone app. It's been developed 100% from scratch to take advantage of the features that the Android app, that the Android operating system offers. So it's going to have different looking buttons, different interface that the developer obviously thinks are sexier than the iPhone app because he's an Android fanboy. We want to test this out as much as possible. Our goal is to have this on the Google Play Store by Monday of next week, available for download. But tonight, right now, we are allowing anybody interested on our blog, sportscardalbum.com/blog, you could go in and download the APK file. And what that is you can literally download the app right now onto your phone if you're an Android user and log in, you know, log into your account, begin adding cards, begin playing with it. It's 90% functional. And what we're basically doing is having a live beta. We've tested it thoroughly, but we can test this thing on the 5 devices that we own. For us, you know, we don't own, we can't go out and buy 20 Android devices to test it on. So we're going to rely on our members here and the Sports Card Live community to go in, test out the Android app, play with it, and tell us what you think. If you find any glitches, if you find something you love, comment on the blog post and get downloading. Again, it's on sportscardalbum.com/blog, but the Android app as it stands right now is live and ready to go. Just download that file.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I got a lot of friends, including Dan. Dan, you need to go ahead and download it. He's an Android app junkie. So
is he really?
Yeah,
he'll be on it. Yeah, absolutely. I haven't had, this is a big boy phone I have here. This is a real deal.
Yeah, Android, all you Android people, so condescending. No, we deserve it. It's okay. Yeah, so, no, it really, really is beautiful. Some of the special things visually, the albums, rather than text, there's actually a thumbnail of the first card in your album that you could click on to go and see those new albums. We're going to have, with the live app right now for this test, we're not going to have all the notifications open, but we've got coming to the iPhone app, we've already got some, but with the iPhone and Android apps, we're going to have full notifications. So from now on, once this live app goes live, we're going to have it so that anytime someone likes a card, comments on your card, messages you, you get a notification, you can contact them right away. So we're going to make it a lot more interactive than it even is, so that just even easier to engage with other collectors.
Awesome. Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, get to downloading that. I put it in the chat, guys, so get on that. And if you have, Android, go ahead and download that at sportscardalbum.com/blog. So go ahead and get to downloading and get that feedback going so that we can make this thing the number one choice for collectors.
And we wanted to celebrate this announcement with a couple of big giveaways. So we've been hinting at these, all afternoon through various social media outlets. But we are going to give away a box of 2014 Topps Chrome Football, which doesn't release for a little over a month, I believe. But we've got one reserved for the winner of this week's leaderboard. So anyone who uploads cards to Sports Card Album is familiar with the leaderboard, and we've got a weekly leaderboard that people can see. And all you have to do is just whoever uploads the most cards in the next 5 days and obviously tags them, puts the description and the product name and all that stuff. We've not run a lot of the leaderboard contests so far because our Android members say, hey, you know what, all these iPhone app users have an advantage because they could be uploading cards mobile, and we can't. So we kind of got stymied there and decided to wait. But now that we've got this APK file up there, we're going to go ahead and do that. So there are a couple people that have a little bit of a head start, but nothing serious. So whoever is at the top of the leaderboard at the end of September 21 will get a box of 2014 Topps Chrome Football when it releases. their choice out of a fresh case. And we're also going to be giving away a Sports Card Album Hobby Box, which is a repack product that we make, factory sealed, very beautiful, you know, very nice cards. You pick the sport. And that's going to be based on a tweet competition. So for those of you on Twitter, all you have to do is take a screen cap from your of your Android app from your phone and tweet it out with a hashtag AndroidSCA for Sports Card Album. So just take a screen cap of the Android app with your phone and tweet it out, and we'll go ahead and set the deadline as tonight, 11:59 Pacific time, so that everybody gets a chance. And one lucky person that uses that hashtag AndroidSCA is going to win a Sports Card Album Hobby Box.
Sweet. And then we wanted to go ahead and do a kind of an archives contest for a $50 gift card to MojoBreak.com, where you should just go ahead and take a picture, do the same thing, but include, put archive, hashtag archive, and then the same hashtag for yours. And, or maybe we should come up with a different hashtag for that, and then we could run it for, I don't know, maybe how long do you think we should run it? Maybe till Friday, so that everybody can get a chance to win the $50 gift card.
That sounds great.
So maybe we should, I'm coming up with this on the fly, maybe tweet at Sports Card Live and at Sports Card Album and include that for the $50 gift card.
Great idea. So we got three giveaways.
Yeah, exactly. Free stuff. Who doesn't like free stuff?
These are going to be pretty sweet prizes. So,
yeah, and honestly, if you guys are all hobbyists, I mean, haven't you been at shows? I know I've been there where, you know, like, somebody's like, oh, I got that Joey Gallo gold, and then you don't even have it. You don't even have a picture of it. So if you have the app and you uploaded all your cards and you're out and about and you're talking to your buddy, or even if you're at the – maybe you're at one of your LCS at your local card store and a guy's collecting a certain card, you can just show him a picture. It's right on the app. It's super easy to get to. So, I mean, just upload all your cards to the site.
Yeah, I'm a collector first. That's why I came up with Sports Card Album. And I still get giddy every time I'm at a card shop and somebody asks me about these cards. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I've got this card. You collect Mike Glennon? I've got a sick Mike Glennon. Oh, you know what? I've got it in my app. Here, let me pull it up. And I show it to them in front and back and all that beautiful stuff. So
yeah.
It's cool. I'm kind of a big fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's
a little biased, obviously.
And, I mean, even if you're building sets, I mean, just know which one you're missing. You can categorize
you
it
know,
on there. You're building
in
sets,
that
you
regard,
that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I'm glad you bring that up. We actually have a couple people on they've got a Facebook page that Sports Card Album member Larry Bracey is a member of, and or whatever you call one of the people in charge, a moderator or whatever. And it's called Finish My Set. And I've asked them to contribute suggestions for how Sports Card Album can actually help set builders. So we're actually going to be developing, based on their suggestions, new features for the Sports Card Album website and app that are going to help set builders complete their sets. So we've got a lot of cool things on the horizon.
Nice. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to use it even more. And I mean, I'm all set. I got an iPhone, but it's exciting. Like people like Dan now can have his cards on his Android device.
For those people that are on, are you really about the Android?
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm stoked. I was bummed that it was only for iPhone, and I haven't had an iPhone for years. So yeah, I'm excited.
You know, the
man,
crazy thing is when we first launched, we had 93% of our members were on iOS.
Wow.
And as of 6 months ago, it was about 60 to 40.
Wow.
And as of a month ago, it's about 50-50.
Wow.
So it is crazy. And the Apple members is still growing, but I think a lot of people are going into Android phones. So it's something that we desperately needed, and we've invested a lot of time and money into developing this properly. So we could not be more excited to have this thing, especially the fact that it's not just a copy and paste. It is a full-blown, completely done from scratch app to take advantage of the Android stuff. So it's pretty special. The developer's really, really proud of it, and we can't wait to hear what people think in the comments section. But for iPhone people, because there are some fanatic, obsessive, Apple tattooing iPhone people out there, right? And yeah, Apple
like
had some... Yeah, there you go. And Apple recently had some very big announcements. What were those announcements?
iPhone 6, iPhone 6 Plus, and the Watch.
Apple Watch, which is going to be tough to say Apple Watch. It's like, you know, you want to say iWatch.
Right.
So we are going to have iPhone 6 capabilities, and we're probably going to tweak the app to prepare it for the iPhone 6 launch. We may include a couple new features, but everything will be accessible to all of the models. And we're also going to be working to make sure that we have Apple Watch capabilities as well. So we are already looking into the Apple Watch. Gosh darn it. We're already looking into the Apple Watch thing, and we think it'll be pretty ridiculously cool for the people to have the Apple Watch to scroll through their albums on their phone. Hopefully that's something that's feasible, but that's what we're looking to do. So there's still plenty of cool things on the horizon for the Apple fanatics as well.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you could even have the background of your Apple Watch could be your latest one-of-one poll that you uploaded from to Sports Card Album. There you go.
Awesome.
Right on your watch. You get to look at it every day and be like, wow, that's my... that's my Johnny Manziel 101 I just got. It's right on my watch. I get to look at it.
Oh, gross.
That's the first name I thought of. I mean, I don't know. I know you're a Baylor guy. Actually, some people were asking. I think it was Trevor in the chat. What did you think of Baylor's new stadium?
It is gorgeous. I've been to the first two home games, and it's probably my favorite thing about moving back to Texas a couple years back. And the stadium's extraordinary. The tailgating is just unbelievable. There's like two peninsulas for tailgating. In between, there's all sorts of boats and pontoon boats and kayaks tailgating. It's really, really neat. Finally, the campus has always been beautiful, but the stadium has been disgusting, very old. It's 5 miles away from the campus. And so... It was always a bad thing for recruiting. They wouldn't even bring recruits to the stadium because you want to show up the pretty campus. The stadium is so far away, it's not even in a great part of town. And so, you know, what do? Well, now you've got the stadium overlooking the Brazos River and the law school and all the towers in the background, and the sun is setting and the buildings are shimmering. It is really, really, really nice. So it's a good time to be a Baylor fan, and we owe a lot of that to RG3. Let's not talk about all that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was kind of rough. Hopefully he's back in 4 weeks, and Kirk Cousins didn't do that great where he can get his job back. So,
well, you know, he didn't fracture it, which is good, but one thing that people didn't talk about is those first 5 minutes of that game was the first time he's looked like RG3 from 2012. You know, 12-yard run, 20-yard pass, 10-yard run, 50-yard pass taken back, another 20-yard pass, running, you know, doing the read option, doing some play action. So I was getting so excited. I was flipping out, and then he, you know, breaks something again, and I was like, oh. So I think RG3 could have also scored 40 points on him. I think Kirk Cousins is great, and if he does well, it helps my playoff tickets that I have. I've got a couple contenders' playoff tickets of him that I can unload.
Nice.
But I am an RG3 fan, and I wish him all the best.
And your boy Kendall Wright's been looking pretty good. You know, quietly got 1,400 or so yards, I think, last year, and still doesn't get the hobby love he deserves for all the accolades he's got.
Absolutely right. You know, it's one of the curses of being on a weaker team. Tennessee Titans, not a hotly collected team. You don't have a big-name quarterback throwing to you. And so I think he's going to get some fantasy points this year. Josh Gordon might come back after 8 games, and if he can lay off the doobies, he's spectacular. Terrence Williams obviously doing some good things in Dallas. So we've got some good prospects, and I just got great news today that Lake Seastrunk was picked up to the practice squad of the Panthers. So I was pretty disappointed when the Redskins cut him. I think he's a big-time playmaker.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, he's behind two guys that have, you know, in late in their career with D'Angelo Williams and John Stewart there. So I think he might have a legitimate shot. I might have to pick him up in fantasy here. So.
Yeah, man, if he's even available to shoot.
Yeah, I know. Good exactly. Call. So. Cool. Well, did Ryan or Dan, did you guys want to ask Sergio anything about the app or anything about the site?
You know, I have actually a question about Baylor football. Who would you rather have, Bryce Petty or Robert Griffin III?
You know, I'm pretty much prepared for any Baylor football question, and you throw that one out there. That one's an interesting one. So the situation is this. We've got a very different team than we had with RG3, and what we needed at that time was one person that could do it all because we had a terrible team around him. And we had a couple receivers, but no offensive line, the worst defense statistically in college football for, you know, 2 years. We were in the bottom five, worst defense overall. And he was able to put up 60-some points against everybody just to get us bowling. I was at the game the first time, you know, in whatever, 16 years that we'd gone to a bowl game. We beat Kansas State at home to get us bowling. And that was an extraordinary day for us to win six games. And it was RG3 creating that. Now we've got a good offensive line. We've put several offensive linemen in the NFL. And we've got playmakers, running backs, wide receivers that are faster than greased lightning. So right now, an RG3 would be great. I mean, he's a spectacular college player. There's no team that wouldn't be better with him on it. But we've got Bryce Petty, who's just got a lot of height. He's got a cannon of an arm. It's an insult that he wasn't invited to New York last year, given that he had 33 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, you know, some insane statistics. But right now we're great with Bryce Petty, and we've got a good backup in the wing in Seth Russell. So I'm not even thinking about, that, but, I think, we wouldn't need RG3 to do all of the running magic that he did, because we've had such great running backs and such great talent, you know, skill position players the last couple of years. Since RG3 came around, our recruiting's been, you know, the last 4 years in a row, each year is better than it's ever been. So this year is the best recruiting class we've ever had. Last year was the best recruiting class we've ever had up to that point. And so we're doing well, but still no respect. Last year, no respect, even up until – the Oklahoma game, and then we beat Oklahoma, and they're like, well, Oklahoma's not good this year. And so, you know, we blew it in the bowl game. First time I've ever seen my team cocky or going in with, you know, thinking they're better. And Blake Bortles played like Joe Montana. He was extraordinary. Yeah. And one of the reasons I'm picking up a lot of his cards, I think he can be something very special.
Agreed.
So this year they've got a chip on their shoulder. People talk about the bad schedule. You know, because of something that's scheduled 3 years from now that's not even, you know, probably going to happen. But the fact is, you compare their schedule to anybody else's. I think Baylor in the preseason poll was in the 60s for strength of schedule. Alabama's like 95. So, you know, when people talk, it's still very early. They're going to have to play a lot of top 10 teams. And I think if Baylor wins out, which is going to be a very, very, very tall task, playing, you know, in Oklahoma, traveling a bunch of the different games in Morgantown, et cetera. But I think they'll make it to the playoffs. Just have to focus on winning.
Sweet. Well, let's get on to that. We'll see how this thing works. I talked to you guys about it. I talked to Sergio on the phone about it. It's a little segment that we may, if it works, we'll bring it back. But we're going to basically try to have a conversation. We'll kind of go on a round table. We'll each say something. The topic is going to be 2014 NFL. So you can talk about a team, you can talk about a player, but in your sentence or statement, you need to include the name of a product. So for like example, the Rams, they got the finest players in the league. And then we'll kind of continue on until somebody can't name a product. So we'll see how it goes. So Dan, you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, that's the first time and the last time you'll ever hear finest and Rams in the same statement from me. So.
Well, I mean, you took the easy one. Oh, man, this is not my type of game, man.
You're breaking up a little bit on there on that Android phone.
Oh,
I'm kidding. No, I'm joking. The app won't break down for you, but the phone may. No, I'm just kidding. But let's. What should we start it off with? Sergio, you want to start it off with just any kind of NFL prediction? You've got to include a product hit.
Oh, well, I've got a. It's got to be an NFL prediction, not just about
anything about the NFL. It'll start the conversation off, and then we got to add to your comment with another name of a product.
Okay. You guys heard Alfred Morris? He's got his old. He's got a very old Hyundai or something like that, but they just pimped it out and they added some chrome rims.
Well, I'm a Niner fan, and I must say that the new Levi's Stadium is immaculate. Ryan?
The new Levi's Stadium is immaculate, but all I know is Johnny Manziel needs to lay off that Crown Royale.
Oh, that's good.
Back to Sergio.
Well, Crown Royale, without a doubt, it's got to lay off that and different kinds of powder and whatnot, but a lot of Aggies and Cleveland Browns fans still will say that he has supreme talent.
Well, and speaking of those Browns, I think Josh Gordon needs to get a little innovation on how he's going to smoke weed next time. Dan, get in the conversation.
Well, I got to say that the 49ers after Sunday night's game are definitely not contenders to be in the Super Bowl.
Let's go with Ryan.
I'm out.
Well, I think the 49ers still put up a valiant effort.
There it is. Right there.
Yeah. Well, Dan, go to Dan.
Oh man. I think I'm out.
Oh, all right, I guess it's just between me and Sergio here. Well, I mean, since the inception of that Levi Stadium, we're going to have a little bit of problems with the grass out there, you know what I mean?
Oh, man, but I heard the prime rib at the stadium is delicious.
Well, I'll go ahead.
There's actually a lot
that.
Of food. There's a lot of food ones that you can do.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, I've tried that prime rib. It's totally certified.
Oh, yeah. And it goes great with potato chips with a Z.
Well, I couldn't have drafted that better myself.
Oh, man. You're on fire. Fire. New product. That's a gimme. That shouldn't count.
Well, people have the mistake of Colin Kaepernick black.
All right.
I did not realize he wasn't. Is he not?
Well,
you got me. You threw me off. You threw me for a big loop.
He's half.
Oh.
Who am
I to question his heritage?
Nice. Oh, man. Well, you know, going back into his heritage, it's very intriguing to find out what his history is.
Well, we could always visit the Black History Museum.
Well, if you go into the Black History Museum, you may see a lot of people that played hoops.
Oh, nice.
I just racially profiled there, but you had me stuck. I'm running out of ideas here.
And you jumped into basketball, but that's okay, because did you hear Shaquille O'Neal's got a new album and that it's already gone platinum?
Yeah, I've listened to a couple tunes off there, and they're exquisite.
Oh, man. Very good. Very good. All right, you beat me. I think I'm going to go and, you know, have dinner, eat a panini, have a little leaf in my salad.
Nice. We'll end it at that. Yours were much better than mine. I took the easy way out on some of these. So yours were very much more creative.
No.
So if we had to nominate a winner, you win.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Trevor says, Yeah. Trevor says Dan and Doug will never be in the stadium club.
Oh, nice. Nice. Speaking of that, I had no idea how expensive those things are. I went to look at Baylor and McLean Stadium. My Lord. Those loge boxes, all those, you know, club seats and all that stuff. My gosh.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Fun. Yeah.
Preferably,
fun,
you don't want to get
fun
those.
Game.
Yeah.
Oh, we're still going?
No, just I gotta change my product talk here. So, do you still have some time? You want to talk about some products with us, or?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you very
awesome.
Much.
Well, we wanted to, you know, it's been a couple weeks since we've been on the radio, so we want to talk about some of the products that came out. I wanted to kind of kick right into a product that I just thought was amazing, was Immaculate. What was your thoughts on Immaculate Basketball, Sergio?
Blown away. I mean, I loved it last year. There's always the worry in those super expensive products, you know, how many people are actually going to get boxes that they enjoy, boxes. We're not even talking complete return on investment, because that's, if you're busting boxes for ROI, you're in the wrong, you know, market. But just in terms of people that aren't going to lose their shirts on a box, and, you know, you've always got that concern. You see a couple weak boxes and you get scared. And then I started seeing, and just such a huge percentage of these boxes or cases, you know, you might not have a winning box, but every case, the one-on-ones that they've done, you know, last year Immaculate was awesome, but this year the sneak peek, you know, stole the show, and the soles, Panini put up a whole gallery of the sneak peek shoes, the sneak peek cards on Sports Card Album, and they are... Good gosh. I mean, the fact that somebody can own Shaquille O'Neal's pump, the pump from his shoe, which that's what I grew up with. I mean, the cool kids, they would have the pumps, you know, and I'd have to save up forever and, you know, beg my parents, and then, you know, I could get a pump, but it was like a year after they were popular. So, but the fact that you could get a Kobe Bryant, the sole of his shoe, and all these are one of a kind, of the Dwight Howards and the Kyrie Irvings and the, you know, all these, it's just... It's so such a cool, special, you know, new type of card that you look at the resale, and these cards were going, they were going for more than I ever would have expected. So
exactly.
And that's in addition to the regular patch autos and logo mans and low numbered parallels that already did well with Immaculate. You know, all of a sudden you've got an extra couple hundred cards in the set, you know, which might not make every case a winner, but you've got a couple extra 100 cards, 300, 400, 500 cards, that the people that pull those are going to be on cloud nine. There's no way you could pull a sneak peek shoe and not be flipping out.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely.
I get excited about new stuff like that. So when I saw
Yeah,
that,
me
like,
too. And
where's
then, you know,
I need $500. I need $500. Where's $500? You know, like a druggie. I'm just like, you know. I'm not going to make a Josh Gordon joke. Never mind.
It was up there for you, for sure. It was you set yourself right up. No, I mean, fortunate for us, I mean, we get to bust boxes, so, I mean, we get to see a lot of stuff, you know, but that it's also a blessing and a curse as you become some kind of a card snob, because you just see it all. And, you know, I had Immaculate, you know, in high regard, and it definitely delivered. I mean, seeing those, I can't wait to see. I don't think the sneak peek pump has been pulled yet. At least I haven't seen it on eBay. But I can't wait to see somebody pull that on Blowout or just anywhere, and just see the reaction of somebody pulling that card. I hope it's on video. I hope, you know, some kind of a breaker or somebody in a card shop pulls that. But that is absolutely an innovative idea. When it's really, I mean, you got a 3x5 canvas, and it's really hard to do a lot of things with them. And for them to come up with an idea like that that hasn't been done before is absolutely amazing. And props goes out to Panini for that idea.
Big time. And, you know, basketball, you can't really do it with football or baseball. Nobody cares. All the cleats look the same. But in basketball, a lot of these players, their shoe is part of their identity. You know, it all was created by Michael Jordan, but a lot of these players, you know Derrick Rose's shoe. You know LeBron James's shoe. You know Kyrie Irving's shoe. You could tell, based on Shaq's pump, which year that model was from. So you could pinpoint into an exact season. And when you've got people like the Admiral, you know, you've got David Robinson, who back then the players actually wore their shoes for a long time. They didn't wear 10 shoes in a season. His sneak peek shoes are absolutely ripped to shreds.
Yep.
They are, you know, greasy, sweaty. The Nike swoosh is like tearing off. It's a piece of history, which, you know, a lot of the times, I mean, that's what these memorabilia pieces began before they were event worn, you know, the vast majority and all that. It brought us closer to the game, Upper Deck's tagline. But I think things like this truly do bring collectors to the game because you're giving them a piece of that player's life. You're giving them a shoe that they wore for countless games. So I think it's just incredible and makes it, for me, almost worth a $500 risk. And, like, you know, where's the credit card? Let me just, you know, just take a shot, roll the dice.
Absolutely. I mean, and even the worst boxes were getting, like, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar autos or Kyrie Irving autos. I mean, so, you know, you're not going to walk out with something that's not nice for your collection or nice to upload to your sports card album, you know? So, you know, stuff like that, it's just a pretty well-rounded product that, you know, it was packed out well and a lot of, I mean, and it's really the only product that has also those big old jumbo pieces of the jerseys, too, that you can put it together. If you chase down the whole set, you can have the whole Mavericks logo of a Dirk Nowitzki's jersey if you find all the pieces, you know? So that's awesome.
Great point. Last year, I honestly, when they announced Immaculate, they actually announced it like after Flawless was announced. And I said, wait a minute. So you've got two super high-end products. Why the heck would you have Flawless and then have Immaculate? Why wouldn't you just combine them and have, you know, one thing? And then you see the product come out and you see all the group breaks and you see all the products break down and you realize that Immaculate was really special for that reason. It was
yes.
the first product, like you said, where you could collect all the different logos. And it's not like pulling a logo card from a, you know, football product with rookies where you've got 20 logo patches. None of them were used. It doesn't really matter. Here, you can actually collect the 8 or the 6, depending on the size of the logo, different patch cards for that player that make up the actual logo from a jersey that they wore in a game. So,
yeah. And
really,
that was
really
actually,
cool.
I believe, the brainchild of Carvin, who was their hockey guy who had done it with Prime Hockey first. And I think he built all of Immaculate. So it came from hockey, where obviously you got more patch possibilities from hockey, but basketball has a lot of patches too. So
I never would have thought of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude. And you know, and you could see the resemblance because Prime this year, I actually busted a box of Prime, and I'm not even a hockey collector, but Prime, I was drawn to it for those juicy patches, and my box did not disappoint. It was loaded with beautiful game-used patches. And I was shocked at how well the cards were selling on eBay. I didn't sell any, but I was shocked at how much the juicy patches went for.
Yeah, yeah, and then they brought that right into basketball, and now they're going to be doing Immaculate Baseball, which, you know, the previews look amazing. I mean, they got full, you know, Mike Trout patches. Same idea where you could build the jerseys. They're numbered to 10, and you could build the whole front of the Angels logo. They also got, like, they just previewed, I think, a Ken Griffey Jr. Batting glove. Like, it's like almost the whole glove. I know that's been done before, but it's still pretty cool when those cards come out. So it's got like a whole batting glove. So, without the license, it may be one of the better products this year for baseball.
Holy cow. That's the first thing that comes to my mind as well, you know, without the license, without the logos. But you're right. If you've got a giant piece of jumbo game-used, you know, Prime memorabilia, you're probably not going to have too big of a player picture anyway, and you're focusing on the memorabilia more than the license. So you're right. Immaculate could actually be pretty special in baseball, regardless
of
license.
Actually, I take that back. What it is, it's not a batting glove. It's a glove. It's his baseball glove, and it's got the Rawling. One of the cards has the whole
Rawling. Oh, sick.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
And then the other, so there's it's number to 3. They're showing two of them, and this is Panini America's tweet, Instagram. You can find these photos. They're absolutely gorgeous. It's the Griffey Jr. Cursive script from the glove is on one card. So it's a whole glove, and it's got the Griffey Jr. script on there. So that's pretty nice. So can't wait to see that.
Oh, I just pulled it up. That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty phenomenal. I wanted to get into, we just talked about Panini. I wanted to switch it over to Topps Chrome, came out a couple weeks ago. You know, I don't know, and I want to get your guys' opinion on it. I feel this year with the, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like this year with the rookie class, besides Abreu, I just don't see like a lot of guys chasing down rookie cards. Am I wrong here?
No, they needed one more guy to kind of like Tanaka would have put it through the roof.
Right.
I mean, and I think that everybody was kind of banking like at some point they're going to get Tanaka in here, and they still might. I mean, there's still a lot of releases left, but I think we've already talked about it. He doesn't really want to sign. So that's where we're at right now. But I think if you had Tanaka in this year's baseball products as rookie autos, Chrome would have went through the roof. So, I mean, if you were chasing Tanaka and Abreu, and there's some other guys in there that are pretty good. I mean, Chrome wasn't bad. I mean, you had Tavares. You had some guys that just these guys had been in sets already.
Right.
There's tons of Tavares out there. There's who's another one of the guys that got called up? I think
Gregory
Polanco.
Bogarts. Xander Bogarts.
Yeah. A lot of these guys have been in products for like the last 2 years.
Right.
So hard to really get excited, especially even on card autos. So, I mean, it was hard to really get excited. Abreu is the one guy who's, you know, hasn't been in a ton of products yet. But if they had Tanaka, that would have just, I mean, prices on boxes would have probably been double selling for.
Well, I mean, here's my feeling. Obviously, everybody wants the Bowman card, and it seems like all of these guys, with the maybe the exception of Abreu, because he wasn't really a prospect for long, well, they were all in, you know, prior Bowman sets, and they have those cards that people want. So it seems like Topps almost kind of competes against themselves when they make the Bowman set, and then these guys get called up, and they're rookies now, and it seems like nobody really wants the rookie cards. They want the Bowman cards.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Looking at the Bowman, every single Jose Abreu autograph was worth money. Every single one, you know, graded was worth a fortune. Numbered is incredible. And, you know, take out Tanaka and, you know, make it a product that people have already got these Jose Abreu autographs now. And even though Chrome looks beautiful, you've got his black refractor autograph. I'm looking on eBay right now. Gorgeous card. Sold for $200. You've got Xander Bogaerts atomic refractor out of 10 selling for $200.
Wow.
And if you had a Bowman autograph numbered out of 100 for Jose Abreu, that's a, what, $400-$600 card?
Easy.
The number out of 75 is, you know.
Yeah.
And the number, if it's out of 10, you've got a $2,000 card or something expensive, something extraordinary. Actually, out of 10 might be more. So seeing Topps Chrome, you know, sorting the eBay sales by, you know, what's sold at the highest prices. You're like, aside from the super fractors and some Mike Trout, you know, top shelf autographs or dual autographs, it's interesting to see that the rookies are nowhere near the top. The rookies are all, you know, a ceiling of like $200 for the Jose Abreu cards, unless you're going to get one of those out of 10 or something like that. So it's interesting. I think you're spot on that, you know, they kind of cannibalize their sales by doing so well with Bowman.
Yeah.
I think you're also spot on that not having Tanaka in this really, really crushed the overall sales of the boxes.
Yeah, and like you said, they're beautiful cards. I love Topps Chrome every year, but it just seems like this year was the worst in terms of who you can get as far as resale value is concerned. I mean, I know we're not in this for resale value, but it's you're always going to look. You're always going to dream of that, you know, that card. And when there's fewer and fewer of those possibilities, it seems like it does deter some hobbyists. So what can Topps do to add value in products like that? Can they include more vets? Can they include more legends? Can they buy back other Topps Chrome rookies and include them in there, like Puig or something like that? What can we do to add more value to these sets? It seems like every year it's the same thing. And it's almost like they need a new idea for some of these sets. Anybody?
Well, I think they've been trying with all the different colors. They've been trying to add value that way. And I think what it's actually done is hurt the value.
Right.
So I think adding more colors and more refractors, more subsets, stuff like that, I think that's actually hurt the value more than anything else. It is kind of intriguing to have like buyback autos.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a way to dip back in the well and you know, put some Puigs in there, put some maybe little pool holes, like go way back. I mean, get
Cabrera
some really cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a really cool idea.
Well, they do that with Finest. They'll buy back they bought back some of the older Finest, and they had, like, Will Clark sign it, and they numbered it to 10, and those things went for, like, nuts, you know? So stuff like that. I mean, they could even not even maybe buy back the actual autograph, maybe buy back the design and then have the guy sign it and number it to 10 or something, like a retro Topps Chrome anniversary or something. That would be cool.
Yeah, like a 87 Topps Will Clark, but with the Chrome technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a way of adding value. I think they've also been trying to add value with introducing Jumbo to pretty much every product that they're going to release. I'm waiting for, like, Ginter Jumbo and Heritage Jumbo. And I mean, now you have Draft Picks, if I'm not mistaken, Super Jumbo.
Correct.
So, that's a real
honestly
thing.
I thought that was a joke when I first heard that. I thought it was somebody goofing on Twitter.
Well, what they do is they get dealers and group breakers to they allocate it, and we talk about this, and people probably snooze when I have this conversation because they're like, what are you talking about? But they get us to buy. So for every case of hobby, you get three boxes of jumbo, and then for every three boxes of jumbo, you get one super jumbo. So they get they make dealers and stuff pretty much, you know, think that the super jumbos are going to be coveted, and they very well may be. They may be super coveted because they're going to be so short. So people up their allocations on the hobby, on the jumbo to get the super jumbo, and then everybody sells more product. So that's kind of but where do you draw the line? Then you get super duper jumbo, and then it's like.
Well, I was like, I'm all where's the ceiling? I'm like, where do you draw the line? And what is the breakdown of the super jumbo?
I believe it's
75 cards per pack, 150 cards per pack, 700
like
cards
50,
per pack.
I think it's 1,000.
It's 1,000 cards per pack.
Yeah, pretty much. It's opening a brick. No, it's 30 for jumbo and 50 for super jumbo. So the super jumbos are probably going to be the same size boxes as your Topps jumbos. Like, that's what the boxes are probably going to look like.
So five autographs.
It's either five or six. I know it's three in jumbo, and then either five or six in super jumbo.
Yeah, I mean Topps Chrome jumbo is actually full of color.
Yeah,
I mean I gotta say I opened up a couple boxes. I did one on a group break and we pulled a super fractor. I mean it's definitely loaded. I mean they did a really good job with it. It's just, where do you draw the line? I mean, do they come out with a Super Jumbo Topps Chrome next year? If Super Jumbo Draft Picks and Prospects takes off and a lot more people buy the hobby and the jumbo, they're probably going to start doing it with every product.
Yeah, wouldn't doubt it.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to quickly touch on NT Hockey. Obviously, crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy product. I mean, it's bringing people out of the woodworks that don't even know what hockey is. They just want some of it because it's such beautiful cards. They did a really good job. Obviously, they were able to liquidate the rest of their inventory to make this product, so that helped. But I think the designs were nice and fresh, and you had a really good rookie class for hockey with a dual rookie class, everybody chasing McKinnon and Seth Jones and Hurdle and stuff. So there was a lot of good hockey rookies to choose from. Plus, you got your Gordie Howes in there, your Mike Modanos, your Messiers, your Lemieux. It was a really good set, and it went way up, and people still want it. So I think Panini did a good job with that. They've been doing well with their high end products. I must say they've been really doing well and adding value and making it desirable. They're doing a really good job with that.
Yeah. It was a good product. I mean, it was good. I personally, for the money, would prefer to open up Prime Hockey.
Yeah.
I thought for the price point, Prime Hockey was just absolutely amazing. But, I mean, if you have, I don't know what NT Hockey is up to right now per box. I'm going to say it's probably $500, maybe.
Four to 500, I believe.
$400 to $500. I would personally take my chances on a couple boxes of Prime. because I just love, like, the jumbo patches in Prime. It was just amazing. And I felt they really, really just over-delivered on that product.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I like the jumbo patches better than, like, I would rather have a jumbo patch than a book card, I mean, personally. So
yeah.
I like Prime,
yeah,
too, but I think NC is a really fun rip.
Those 24-piece memorabilia quad booklet things,
yes,
those were pretty nasty. The skate autographs and the, you know, addition of the little flawless diamond cards and emerald cards. Didn't you guys pull one?
Yeah,
yeah,
we got a Cujo.
Oh, sweet, sweet. Yeah, so the NT, you know, it actually has that immaculate feel with the acetate on top of the cardstock, which is really, really pretty. I got to see a couple breaks in person, and beautiful thing. Obviously super expensive, and, you know, I enjoyed Prime so much that, you know, I'd probably side with a couple boxes. If I had a choice, two boxes of Prime or one of NT, but, you know, at the same time, if I could have a chance of pulling a McKinnon NP patch autograph or a logo shield, which, you know, they had got some of those, or the button cards. They added some cool things, taking advantage of what they got with the hockey jerseys. So the, you know, the,
yeah,
I think they were called the snap cards, the little snap piece of their buttons.
Yep.
Had some cool, cool stuff in there. So it'd be a tough choice, not a choice I'm going to have to make. But
yeah,
if I had the choice, I'd be, it'd be really tough to make a decision between two Prime and one, or one NT. I'm not sure,
yeah,
what I would do.
I agree, and those, some of those McKinnons are selling for anywhere from 700 to like $2,000. So just on a card number to 99. So I mean, that's just, it's crazy for hockey cards. So, and I bet you, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. I bet you Upper Deck, because the Cup is coming out in about a month. So I bet you Upper Deck, you know, as much as NT had that buzz, I'm actually, they're probably sitting back and they're happy that Panini kind of brought some collectors in, because that's the last hockey product for Panini. So now you got everybody focusing
on
Upper Deck cards. So the Cup's going to come out, and I think the Cup is going to be better than ever as far as the buzz. So, and it's always a good product, so. And Trevor is asking,
yeah,
if you can post the full download link so we can manually enter it into our phones. I put your blog link, but they're trying to figure out how to get it. Maybe they can contact you on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, they can absolutely contact us at Sports Card Album. Or let's see, we've got this link here. Let me copy this link address and send it to you
okay,
via email. Maybe you can add it to that thing.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, I'll do that.
MojoBreak@gmail.com.
That's it.
Coming your way, and that way you could post that link.
All right, I'll go ahead and post that link for you guys and see if that one works. I think that pretty much covers everything for today. Did you guys have anything else to add? Sergio, did you want to talk about any news or anything that you've been seeing out there?
Boy, We've always got 10 million things going on in the hobby, all sorts of conversations, licensing-wise, distribution-wise, but rather than opening up Pandora's box, we could save that for another time. One thing that I forgot to mention that we're going to start doing on Sports Card Album is, you know, now that we're going to have the Android app and more people can participate in the weekly leaderboard, we are going to be doing random free group breaks. So
nice.
Just on individual boxes. So
nice.
What we're going to do is periodically, if we've got a box of whatever product we get, we will go ahead and take 8 people, randomize 8 out of the 10 people on that week's leaderboard, and contact those 8 people and randomize and give them each a division for whether it's baseball, basketball, or football, and do a box break and give away all of those cards in group break format. So we're going to start
nice.
Doing those, and do those free little group breaks weekly. So more incentive to participate in the leaderboard and add your cards and make sure you've got your little descriptions and all that stuff added, which helps the entire community for searchability, because we
right.
got some people that have beautiful cards, but if you don't put the details, nobody can find them.
Yeah.
So
what's your count up to as far as how many uploads of cards do you have at this moment?
It's a lot. You know, we took it. We had it before we uploaded the or updated the entire website and how it works. We used to have it present on the side. Now I'd have to ask the developer to look it up. But we are getting close to 500,000 cards.
Wow.
Which is pretty extraordinary because, you know, it took us over a year to get the first 100,000.
Wow.
So, yeah. So we anticipate once this Android app comes out that number is going to go up significantly again. So a lot of cool things coming, and we can't wait to see that number keep going up.
I know it's hard to maybe pick a favorite, but what is the biggest wow factor card lately that you've seen uploaded to your site?
It was a from National Treasures Hockey, and it was the dual logo patch autograph of McKinnon, and I forgot who the other guy is that's like the number two rookie behind McKinnon.
Galchenyuk?
Maybe. If it's something
or,
like that.
Or Yakupov, probably, right?
Yeah, I think it was Yakupov. And so, you know, I haven't seen the card on eBay yet. I think it was sold privately. But, you know, that's $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 card. People were estimating that it could be up to $7,000. And so that was a really, really cool card. But we've got, in the last week, you know, we've got a lot of one-of-ones and super-fractors and finite. When the new products come out, we've got them all, you know, uploaded. And it's exciting seeing the newest products come out and just looking at the feed that day. And as the feed is trickling, you're seeing new cards from that new product. And that's something that we're going to try to incorporate with more contests in the future. So if we've got Exquisite or National Treasures or something coming out, we'll say, hey, everybody who posts a card from that product this day is going to be entered to win a box of that product or something special. So it's really cool. It's really cool seeing NT come out, and then that day we've got a couple hundred National Treasures patch autos popping up on Sports Card Album. Sometimes we just grab some popcorn and leave it up on a second window just so that we can see the stuff going on as it happens.
Yeah, maybe even something down the line when I know you guys are super busy. Maybe we can even get involved by having like an elitist club for the month where, you know, you pick 10, 20 cards that, you know, maybe there's somebody the size of the biggest. We have a poll, and then that person can win something.
Dude, love the idea. Very,
cool
idea.
The only problem is I guess you'd maybe have some people that steal cards off of forums or something to try. You'd have to, I don't know, you know, you'd have to authenticate it somehow.
You're right. There's always those things, but
as long as they could include a Sports Card Album like logo in the background somehow, like a business card or a writing.
Very smart.
You know, and then it's authenticated, and they enter in the biggest pull of the month contest, and then you know maybe a gift card or a box break's involved or something, and there's a section on the site that people can just you know go wow, you know.
Great, great idea. We could, you know, make something accessible on the blog where somebody can just download a Word document, print it out with the logos, and, you know, or just write it out on a piece of paper, you know, Mojo Break Elitist Club or Sports Card Live Elitist Club, whatever. Take a picture with that and upload it. Now you got proof that it's there in their possession, and we just set up a nice poll, have people participate in the poll or submit their card for the poll. And have people vote on it. That's a really, really cool idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be fun. Or even, you know, box breakers competing against stuff, too. Biggest pull of the month. And then, you know, somehow, you know, because I know you have a bunch of different box breakers that upload their stuff to the site. So, you know, that way you have video proof of the card being pulled.
Absolutely. And they can share the winnings or the prize, whatever, with the person that pulled it or give it to them outright. We've actually got some nice features for box breakers coming out where you're going to be able to link your cards to the videos that they were pulled from, link back to your website and all that stuff. So
that is awesome. Well, cool. Well, we won't take any more of your time. I know you're busy. You're rolling out the new app, so we definitely appreciate all the time. We're all excited about the Android app and get more people involved and, you know, seeing all these awesome pulls. So once again, guys, sportscardalbum.com. You can download it in the Apple iOS market, And now, you know, you can get it on the Android. So that was the big news for today. We're excited, you know, bringing more people into this and watching it grow. I think the next time we talk to you, when I ask you for that number, you're going to be like, it's going to be over 1 million. So
that would be, I'm going to bust out some champagne the day we hit 1 million. It'll be an exciting day.
Well, if you got right. to 500,000 this long, it's going to multiply like crazy. So
we're not quite there, I don't think. But if we were, I'd drive over to the grocery store right now and buy some champagne for hitting the 500,000 mark. Hey, speaking of busy, congratulations on the newborn.
Thank
you. Congrats there, and enjoy not sleeping for a little while.
Yep, I'm already there. I'm already running, gas tank's already running on E, but luckily I got a wife who's amazing and does most of that for me, so I'm spoiled.
Very, very awesome. Good for you. In the same boat.
Nice.
All right, guys, thank you so much for having me on. Always a privilege and honor to hang out with y'all and chit-chat about all the latest stuff. So thank you so much for all of your complimentary dialogue towards Sports Card Album and for all your fantastic ideas. Please keep them coming. Anything we can do to help you guys do what you do and help the hobby move forward, we're all for it.
Awesome. Sounds good, Sergio. Thanks for coming on the show again, and we'll have you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
You too. Take care.
Thank you.
Cool, cool, cool. That's awesome, you know. One of the good guys in this hobby, you know, just building something for the collectors. So I like it. And it's 100 times better than using Photo Bucket, which is just extremely difficult to use, in my opinion. So, and I'm just being honest. I mean, it's kind of not geared for the card market. So, you know, especially with these new phones coming out, you know, it's just going to be really easy to do something like this.
Absolutely. I'm stoked. I get it downloaded on my Android.
Yeah, you got your Stanford collection up there, right?
Yep.
Little Toby Gerhart.
Well, yeah, little Toby Gerhart. That's the thing that bums me out about college, though. Like, you lose, like, one game and your chances of winning the national title or going to, like, a BCS bowl game are pretty much done.
Yes.
Stanford losing against USC was pretty much the killer. So.
Oh, yeah.
But they beat UC Davis. What's up?
Nice. Did they play San Jose State this year?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think they're the same. I think San Jose State plays like Hawaii and Boise and somebody else. I don't think they play Stanford.
Yeah, they're in like the, I don't know. They're not in the WAC anymore. It's like the Mountain West, I think.
Mm.
It's hard to keep track of the
CFL,
the college conferences. The CFL?
Yeah, CFL. College Football League. So.
Nice.
Well, I think that's it, guys. Ryan, did you have anything to add or anything you wanted to touch on for today?
No, not really. I was checking out those shoe cards on Sports Card Album from Immaculate. They are pretty immaculate, I tell you what. The you get the old school Larry Johnsons with the Converse and Grand Hill Filas and
those are my favorite right there. Love the Filas.
Those are pretty nice cards, actually, to be honest. So it's cool that they're able to do something non autographed, you know, and something like that. I imagine is worth, a lot. I mean, even the John Stockton, you know, the Nike Air John Stockton, that's got to be worth quite a bit, probably more than a John Stockton autograph. So it's pretty cool that, you know, they kind of take something. A lot of these guys, they wear shoes every day. You know, they had the Stephen Curry ones on there. I guess he's with Under Armour. He probably has a brand new pair of shoes every game. So you can do cards like this, and it's really cool. So, yeah, Sports Card Album had like 100 of the pictures on there for, you know, all the different players and Dirk and LeBron. There was a couple of nice LeBron ones that are probably worth a fortune. So those are
and
pretty
it's
nice.
The only way to incorporate Jordan because they got the Jordan logos in there.
Yeah, that's kind of a sneaky way. Yeah, you get Jordan in there and it's like, oh, everybody obviously knows what that logo is. And the Nike, and it's just really cool. You see a card like that and it's like, I'd take that. I'd want that, you know. It'd be pretty cool almost if you could sign the back maybe, if they signed the back on some of them maybe. That would just add, even some of them, like they were autographed, like Scottie Pippen, he had one where he had autographed part of the shoe. So, or even the inscriptions. Kevin Durant had like inscriptions on them and stuff. So
yeah,
just a pretty cool idea. Hopefully they can do, like you said, with the like the baseball glove, and maybe incorporate other kind of memorabilia things. That it's not just a player autograph. It's something really kind of cool.
And I think they left some to be desired because, I mean, me and Dan both love those Scottie Pippins that had the big air on the side.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they didn't have those in the set. There's a lot of shoes that I think weren't in the set. And coming to think of it, I mean, I know, you know, people hate people copying, but could you imagine if Upper Deck was able to pull this off with every year of Jordan's shoes?
Oh, man. Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, all 20 years, you know, Jordan 11s, which is like the patent leather ones, and just have like maybe five cards of each shoe that basically the lace of the shoe or the logo of the, you know, dude, they would kill if they could do that.
Yeah, that'd be sick. They could do that because it's not tied to the league. It's not tied to the
right.
NBA. So they could put Jordan shoes and just have them wear some shoes. I mean, I don't know much about event-worn shoes, but if you couldn't get game-worn shoes, honestly, I wouldn't mind it if he gave Jordan a pair of shoes. He went and run around the Upper Deck office or wherever and then took them off and he cut them up and put them on a card. And maybe he inscribed something on them, or maybe he put something on them or something to make them even that much more collectible. So I think it's a really cool thing, and I'm sure they thought about it. I bet it's really hard to construct a card like that. It's really thick. It's probably like, you know, got four different layers and stuff, so it's probably pretty expensive, but each one of those cards is going to be worth quite a bit. I'm assuming quite a bit.
Easy.
I haven't looked, but I mean, I'm just looking at the cards being like, yeah, I'd probably take all these, to be honest. So pretty cool stuff, actually.
Yeah, I'm actually going to look at, like I said, the Shaq, I think, is, my opinion, the best one on there. I'm thinking that card is easily 10 grand. That's what I'm predicting. Once it comes out and somebody sells it, I think it's easily 10 grand. So, but I'm looking at, I want to see if any of these things sold. So I'm going to pull this up right now and see if any of these things have sold. There's a Derrick Rose, somebody's got up there for 2 grand, but it hasn't sold. The Anthony Davis, see, these are all best offers. There's an Anthony Davis. It was up there for $3,000, and best offer was accepted. John Stockton, 101 with an autograph on it, sold at $3,000, best offer. Those are the only ones that I have seen that have sold. So not sure
they're
what they're
– worth over $1,000.
Yeah, exactly. And some of these cards are – I mean, we pulled the Patrick Ewing sneak peek. So that was one of the big pulls that we pulled out of Immaculate. But it was just it was kind of weird. It was just black, and it looked like it may have been autographed, but it faded. But it definitely looked like Patrick Ewing maybe only wore one pair of shoes. Because the shoe, even though it was like basic, it was like the leather was just kind of mashed. So,
right.
But yeah, so I can't wait to see that Pump 101 on there and see what it sells for. And I can't even imagine it coming out of the pack with that pump. Pump's got to be sticking up, you know. I mean, it's got to be like the cards that are in front of it got to be teetering on it or something, you would think.
Well, you may only get a couple cards in that pack,
right?
Because
you're saying,
I mean, that it's going to be a huge card.
Yeah, I don't remember. Well, the card that the sneak peek that I pulled was the same thickness of the shoe card of the regular sole cards. So
yeah,
it was the same.
It may be. They may have a redemption for it.
Maybe, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we always talk about, like, trying to add value to certain products, and a way of doing it is with memorabilia. And it just takes going to the drawing board and just figuring it out. And shoes in general, I mean, just in pop culture, are a big deal. And
yeah,
I think you can actually get some people who are basketball fans who are not really collectors, and that's how you judge if you did something really, really out of the ordinary and great, is if you show a non-card collector something like that and it blows them away, I think you've done something really, really special.
That's a good way to gauge it, for sure. Yeah,
so,
I mean, that's a perfect way to say it.
So I think, I mean, if you actually, like I said, I mean, if you just pulled a basketball fan off the street and showed them, look at this card I got. They only made one of them, and it's so, the pump is so iconic. That's what makes it really, really cool, because it's so iconic. I mean, all of us know what it is. All of us either had a pair or knew somebody who had a
pair.
Or wanted a pair.
Yeah.
And I think this is what they got to go back to the drawing board and try to figure out what else they can do with memorabilia. For other sports, I mean, you can do some other stuff for football. You can actually add on this and build onto it for basketball. And baseball, I mean, we'll see when Immaculate comes out for baseball. Let's see what kind of stuff they come out with. I mean, wasn't there a – I know it's a little off topic. Wasn't there a glove back in the day? Didn't Reebok make a pump glove?
I think so.
Either Barry Bonds or Ken Griffey Jr. used.
Yeah.
Wasn't there – I think there was a glove. Because I remember I was, like, playing Little League, and one of the kids had it, and I'm like, man, I really want that glove. And it was, like, it had a little pump. It had, like, a pump on the thumb.
Badass.
So,
yeah.
I think there's definitely some stuff they can do.
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, I think they just scratched the surface. I mean, one thing that I've always wondered, they used to do it, I think, back in the day, but and I know guys in baseball tend to wear the same hat for a while, but what about these retired players? Would it be, like, amazing if you got a Hank Aaron one-of-one and it's, like, the whole Braves logo on a card from the hat?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
like, you don't see that anymore. Oh, and then you got the MLB logo man guy on the back now, so then you can make another one-of-one
right.
with that. You could make maybe a two-of-two with the new era logo. You know, there's so much. You don't see hats in baseball cards, and I think that. I mean, the hat is baseball. I mean, we wear football hats, but that's baseball.
Well, the funny thing is that you don't see these manufacturers do anything with the caps from baseball, but you see football constantly. Like how many and basketball? How many products have come out with like a hat logo? I mean, it was NNT. And I think a lot of these basketball players and I mean they definitely on draft day they have the hats they wear and stuff like that, but a hat to me is baseball.
Yeah.
Right.
And you just don't see a lot of memorabilia from hats. And like Doug was saying, it's a lot of these guys are superstitious and they're gonna have the same hat all year.
Yeah.
If you look at Lincecum's hat, it's tore up. I don't know if he's ever changed that hat. I mean,
well, that's what I think. They keep it, and that's why we don't see them.
Yeah.
I think they could get
it,
though. They could get it. Like LeBron, and even Vince Carter when he had a deal with Fleer, Vince Carter would change jerseys at halftime, and the jersey would go to Fleer, and then the other one went to Fleer, too, I think. Like,
yeah.
And LeBron took his jersey off when he had the cramp game during the finals. They sold the jersey that he wore in the first half. Somebody already had that, and it sold for a whole bunch of money. So I think you can get to these guys and be like, okay, Puig, in the third inning or after the game or whenever, take the hat off and put on another one. Somebody like Lincecum, you're right, I think he does use one hat, and there's probably other guys like that. But other guys, it's like, you know, like I'm assuming it's okay with New Era if they have their logos on cards or something. I'm assuming they wouldn't really mind that. Or I think that's – I don't know why they haven't done that. Maybe they have or they tried it a long time ago or Upper Deck did it. But why not? A Mike Trout hat logo, Mike Trout MLB logo on the back of a car, 101, that'd be $1,000. I mean
– Yeah.
So – you know, and you could get a lot of them. You know, it wouldn't be just one hat. You could literally get a guy to give you 10 hats that he wore in the game during the year. And I think each one of those cards will have the value. You know, there's not going to be 100 of them. It's not going to be like he signs 1,000 autographs. He only has these 10 hats, and you can make these 20 cool cards with them and spread them out for the whole year or something. I don't know. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, I wonder what the legality is with – I wonder if these manufacturers like Nike or like, hey, we want a kickback for putting our logo in your card. You're making money off that card. We want a little piece of the action.
Yeah.
Or is it like, well, we've already paid for the jersey. We obtained the product. It's ours legally. We can do whatever we want with it. I wonder what the issue is. I wonder if because Nike makes football jerseys and Panini's exclusive football
Players
card
Association.
Manufacturer. I wonder if they're like, okay, well, you can go ahead and use it. You're already paying for the jerseys, whatever. You got the exclusive. And I wonder if New Era is like, no, we're gonna basically, until you give us some money, you can't use our logo. I wonder what the legality is. I wonder if once you own the hat, if it's yours to do whatever you want with it. I'm not sure. Because it's kind of a no-brainer to try to obtain, like, player-used hats in baseball.
Yeah,
when you think of a baseball player, you think of glove, hat, and like a bat is what you think of.
Yeah. Well, Brian Gray has Nike logos, and Upper Deck has Nike logos, so it must be if you own it, it's yours. It doesn't matter. Nike doesn't get paid.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense. Once you obtain the jersey, once you own it, then I guess you can do whatever you want with it. Maybe it's just too expensive to try to obtain these game-used hats. Maybe there's too many players in the league. You got to figure there has to be players in the league who are like, whatever, I use new hats, like, every week.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Every game I use a new hat.
Every game.
I mean, there's got to be guys.
Well, like,
Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Derek
Jeter
probably this year. I bet he's using a new set of things every freaking game, and somebody's documenting his hats and his bats and his everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you look at guys like Jerry Rice, who used to try on 10 he literally would try on like 5 to 10 jerseys before the game to make sure which one felt the best for him. Because he was like that particular. And you have guys like that in the league. And Jerry Rice, actually, his wife used to say that he would get mad at her if all the vacuum lines in the house didn't line up. That's how OCD Jerry Rice is. But that's why he's great, too. So, I mean, probably particular on all of his routes and all the way he ran. And in the, you know, so. But a little side note on Jerry there.
Well, I mean, the guy was a beast when it came out to workouts in the off season.
Yeah.
He didn't have an off season. I mean,
no,
that guy was
no.
that.
He's
that
probably,
that's why
he's
he was best. You got to put something into it to get what you want out of something. I mean, you got to put some work into it. So, I mean, that guy, he worked for it. I got to give him that.
Yeah,
he did.
So, well, I think that's all we pretty much have for today's show. That was a pretty good show, I think. I think I had a lot of fun. I mean, it was something that, why we hadn't done it is mainly because of me, because trying to find time to watch the new baby. But been wanting to do this for a while, and I always have a blast. So I'm glad you guys, hopefully, out there listening, enjoyed it. So and hopefully we'll do another one sooner than later. So
we'll be back in 6 months.
Yeah, another 6 months. Yeah, exactly. We'll do a 4-hour show every 6 months and load you up. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking mid December, right before the holidays.
Yeah,
good time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know what? With sports cards, trying to do something every week is, I mean, there's just not that much going on, really. And you know, we could talk about sports, but. You know, I'm not an ESPN anchor or Dan Patrick in the morning, which you guys probably listen to, and I can't compete with that. So that's pretty much does it for you guys that are looking to get into breaks. Top's Finest comes out tomorrow. Football should be pretty good. So some affordable breaks for that, and some stuff coming out next week with Bowman Chrome, I believe, comes out, and then Flawless is right around the corner. So some pretty exciting stuff. Ryan, anything? We got about another minute. Do you have anything you'd like to promote or anything?
No, I haven't worked on sports cards in a month, so I got nothing to promote.
Okay.
So.
No worries, man. Well, go Niners, and hopefully I'll see you before the Rams. We'll be on here before the Rams game, but if not, that's when we'll see each other. So.
Yeah,
bro. Dude, I'm telling you, the Rams are tied for second right now. What's up?
We got game, this. Then.
First place game,
sure, man. Happy dance.
It could be
happy dance.
Could be a fourth place game too.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, let's hope not.
Sweet.
All right, guys.
All right.
We'll see you guys later. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. Check out sportscardalbum.com and do the Twitter contest to win some free stuff. We'll repost that on Twitter with the links and stuff. And we'll talk to you guys later. Later.
Later. Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.